The scripture passage this morning I have asked Lee to read along with me. This is an interesting scripture passage to be looking at on Christ the King Sunday, or Reign of the King Sunday. It is a scripture passage that we usually read perhaps on Holy Week, even Good Friday, as we approach the story of Jesus' crucifixion. But this passage is also fitting for this Sunday, Christ the King Sunday, or Reign of the King Sunday, because it shows us how Jesus lives into his true nature as a leader, a king who is fearless and unflinching in the face of authority and betrayal and physical punishment. Hear the word of the Lord as we read from John chapter 18. So the soldiers, their officer, and the Jewish police arrested Jesus and bound him. First, they took him to Ananias, who was the father-in-law of Caiaphas, the high priest that year. Caiaphas was the one who had advised the Jews that it was better to have one person die for the people. Simon Peter and other disciples followed Jesus. Since the other disciple was known to the high priest, he went with Jesus into the courtyard of the high priest. But Simon Peter stood outside at the gate. So the other disciple who was known to the high priest went out and spoke to the woman who guarded the gate, and was able to bring Peter in. The woman at the gate said to Peter, "You are not also one of this man's disciples, are you?" Peter said, "I am not." Now the slaves and the police had made a charcoal fire because it was cold, and they were standing around the fire and warming themselves. Peter also stood with them and warmed himself. And then Ananias, the high priest, questioned Jesus about his disciples and about his teaching. And Jesus answered,
"I have spoken openly to the world. I have always taught in synagogues and in the temple, where all Jews come together. I have said nothing in secret. Why do you ask me? Ask those who heard what I said to them. They know what I said."
When Jesus had said this, one of the police standing nearby struck Jesus on the face, saying, "Is that how you answer the high priest?" And Jesus answered him,
"If I have spoken wrongly, testify to the wrong. But if I have spoken rightly, why do you strike me?"
Then Ananias sent Jesus bound to Caiaphas, the high priest. Now then, Simon Peter was standing and warming himself more, and they asked of him, "You are not also one of his disciples, are you?" Simon Peter denied it and said, "I am not." And one of the slaves of the high priest, a relative of the man whose ear Peter had cut off, asked, "Did I not see you in the garden with him?" Again, Peter denied it. And at that very moment, the cock crowed. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Thank you, Lee, for helping me with that. I joked with Lee about having him read the part of Jesus might be a little bit of typecasting. Those of you who know him well know that to be true. So here we find ourselves, friends, on Christ the King Sunday, the Reign of Christ Sunday. Now, this is a worship service that was instituted by the Roman Catholic Church in the 1920s to fight growing secularism, particularly to counter what the Pope saw at that time as non-Christian or nominally Christian dictatorships throughout Europe. The Pope instituted Christ the King Sunday to affirm that, quote, "Christ has dominion over all creatures. We are no longer our own property, for Christ has purchased us with a great price. Our very bodies are the members of Christ. Now, of course, as you might guess, many Protestant denominations have incorporated this Sunday into their church year. But being good Presbyterians, many of you know how we feel about hierarchy and authority. So we're a little bit hesitant to embrace this whole Christ the King. And there's all that royalty language that Jesus really never lived into at all. But we use this Sunday to signify that this is the end of the church year. The following Sunday is Advent, which is the beginning of the church year. And even though we are a little bit hesitant to claim the royalty language of Christ the King, I believe that many of us have found ways to reshape this day of celebration into an honoring that makes sense to us. And this is a very interesting passage of Scripture to read on any Sunday other than Holy Week, maybe Palm Sunday, but any time other than Good Friday. It is written from the disciple John, who we sometimes refer to as John the Beloved. And on a Sunday when we should be celebrating perhaps the glory of Christ, the power and might or majesty of Christ, maybe we should be having a worship service that has elements of a royal coronation. Maybe we should have new paraments on the pulpit and on the table, and we should pull out the good communion service, and Brian should be playing amazing anthems that make the organ vibrate. We have a little bit of that, right? But this passage from John places Jesus not on a throne, but smack in the middle of very lowly treatment. Within this story of the three betrayals from Peter, Jesus is physically bound, probably by both hands and feet. He is mocked, he is questioned, and he is slapped in the face, literally by the police officer and figuratively by Ananias, the high priest. Verse 22 tells us that one of the police officers standing nearby struck Jesus on the face and said to him, "Is that how you answer the high priest?" Friends, have you ever been slapped in the face? Have you ever felt the sting that comes from having someone strike your face? I hope that you have not, but I am guessing that some of you have. Some of you know my story from the hills of eastern Kentucky, and you can probably guess that I have been slapped in the face. My brothers and I were raised by a mother who had almost no control over her anger. And as an adult, I have realized that she was as much a victim, and in some ways even more a victim of her anger than my brothers and I. After all, we were able to grow and to forgive her, but I don't believe she was ever able to forgive herself. Now, maybe some of you had a parent like mine. I'm guessing some of you did. But even if you did not, you can probably imagine what it might feel like to have someone strike your face, to feel a hand stinging, striking your cheek, to feel your head jerk to the side. Our face is the part of the body that we present to the world. Our face is the home of our lips, lips that show smiles or frowns or indifference. The face is the home of the eyes and the eyebrows that see everything, that observe, and that convey emotion. The face, it is such an intimate part of our physical selves. And this police officer who slaps Jesus in the face could have nudged him with an elbow, could have pointed a finger and given a strong verbal warning. But instead, he strikes our Jesus on the face, our Messiah, our Prince of Peace, our God walking around in this world. And even if you have never been struck on the face or anywhere else, I am sure that you know the pain, the anguish, the humiliation of a biting word, of an offensive social media post, of a degrading look. We have all experienced those. This passage of Scripture makes no mention of Jesus flinching or retaliating against this attack. On the contrary, our Messiah does not miss a beat. He gives an instant response, probably with his cheek still stinging in pain. He says, "If I have spoken wrongly, testify to the wrong. But if I have spoken rightly, why do you strike me?" Even in the very midst of his pain and humiliation, Jesus instantly seeks truth and justice. He is a leader who can withstand unjust treatment and hold it up to the light of day for inspection. A leader who will question his oppressors and reflect their actions back to them. "Why do you strike me?" A king, indeed. He is fearless and unflinching. Last week, last Tuesday, I attended, along with Pastor Katie and with Billy Klutz and other members of Emmanuel, the Transgender Day of Remembrance at the Unitarian Universalist Church of Fairfax. Katie participated in the worship service, and Billy Klutz, who is our evening service coordinator, led members of various congregations in a special music tribute. This Transgender Day of Remembrance is a day that is set aside to remember those who have been tormented and killed in the last year because of anti-transgender violence. It is meant to bring attention to the continued violence against this vulnerable community. I sat in the pew at that worship service, and I looked around at the people worshiping that night. You want to talk about fearless and unflinching. These children of God, who are trying with every fiber of their being to live lives that are authentic and meaningful, do so in the face of hate, of misunderstanding, of an indifference. Fearless and unflinching indeed. So on this day, let us not only celebrate Jesus for those traits that he embodies, but also for the traits that he does not possess as a leader. Traits that, despite ourselves, we might secretly admire in others. We might think that we need leaders or bosses or bankers or stockbrokers or legal representatives who are aggressive, all-powerful, who take control, who bully and manipulate others into following them. We might think that there is a time and place for such measures. And if I needed a defendant in a court of law, I would be hard-pressed to say that I would not be looking for some of those traits in an attorney. But friends, let us look at Jesus. Let us remember that the same Jesus who does not flinch when slapped is the same Jesus who gave us the Beatitudes. Remember the Beatitudes? I know that I sometimes think of them as this lofty poem that exists only in the theoretical. Oh yeah, the Beatitudes, it's for people who are weak and downtrodden and meek. That's definitely not me. I think of all those pretty lilting stanzas about sweet and innocent ways of being in the world. But Jesus spoke the Beatitudes. Jesus is the one who came up with them. He spoke those phrases of blessing from his very own mouth in the midst of a sermon in which he was teaching his followers how to live in this world. He gave them those eight blessings that are recounted in the Gospel of Matthew. And Jesus was not quoting any other part of Scripture, as he is wont to do. He was not quoting either Isaiah or the Psalms. He was not reading from notes or bullet points like I am. These blessings came from his very nature, from his desire to teach us. And from those blessings, we know that Jesus blessed the poor in spirit, those who mourn, the meek, those who seek righteousness, those who are merciful, those who are pure in heart. He blessed those who seek peace and those who are persecuted. And he went on to say that they would all have a special place in the kingdom of heaven. Now, friends, I know that 2018 has been a difficult year for so many of us. We have had so many losses in this congregation. We have known grief, confusion, desperation, and at points even horror. I include myself and my own family in this. And how beautiful it is to know that Jesus has spoken words that bless us, not aside from our hurts, but right alongside of our hurts, because of our hurts. We are blessed in our loss, in our confusion, in our desperation, and in our horror. And Jesus expands on that with a trait that we might look to in a worldly leader as one who keeps themselves apart from others. Our worldly leaders, people of royalty, people at the higher echelons of business or government, seem to live sort of separate lives. And they sometimes may seek to even distance themselves even further from those they seek to lead or to rule. But not our King, not our Jesus. He lived with us, ate with us, traveled with us, prayed with us, cried with us. He was and is Emmanuel, God with us. I'm wondering if any of you read the quote on the front of the bulletin today. And if any of you can guess who it was from. Anybody have any ideas? What was that? Aretha Franklin. Yes, the Queen of Soul. She passed away from pancreatic cancer earlier this year. And the quote says, "Being the Queen of Soul is not all about singing. And being a diva is not all about singing. It has much to do with your service to people and your social contributions to your community and your civic contributions as well." Now, this was a woman who was known as the Queen of Soul. She was a singer of rhythm and blues, but I find it very interesting that it is her gospel album titled Amazing Grace that, at least as of 2017, it may have changed since her death, but as of 2017, it was her gospel album that stood as the biggest selling disc of her entire 50-plus recording artist career. And as well, it is the highest selling live gospel music album of all time. And if you have not heard Aretha Franklin sing Precious Lord, you really should do yourself a favor and listen to that today. Now, of course, she had a reputation for being a diva. She performed in grand halls and dresses and hats of jewels and high stiletto heels, and she would wear a massive fur coat, but she would throw that fur coat to the ground when she got to the point in a song where she wanted to let her voice soar into soulfulness. So she may have been a diva in some ways, but she lived in a suburb of Detroit, Michigan, one of the most downtrodden, poverty-stricken, crime-ridden cities in the entire U.S. And that is where her family lived, and that is why she lived there. She was active in her community and even in her church. Wouldn't you love that, Brian, to have Aretha in your choir? And she was famous for saying, "When I'm not on stage, I'm the lady next door." People would see her at the grocery store, the dry cleaners, the post office, and she was always eager to stop and have a conversation and talk about family and the weather and recipes. Apparently, she was quite a good cook. She also gave of her time and her talent and her money generously to charities and to individuals dealing with AIDS and HIV, for disadvantaged youths, children, civil rights, diabetes education, the environment, health, human rights, all sorts of causes. I believe that Aretha exuded many of the qualities of Christ. She faced many hardships in her life, and yet she still came out as a person who gave back, who was unflinching and unfailing and living a life without fear. So friends, how can we celebrate such a king this morning? Not with a coronation or a crown or with purple robes or new paraments. Can we celebrate this king by mirroring his life in our own lives? By remembering that when he was slapped, he remained calm, he remained firm, he was centered. By remembering that he walks alongside of us, alongside of the most vulnerable, by living into the blessings bestowed on us in his Beatitudes. On this Reign of Christ Sunday, let us celebrate a heavenly king who is like who is unlike any earthly king. Let us celebrate a heavenly king who might even bristle at the notion of being called a king. A heavenly king who reigns magnificently by being fearless and unflinching for us, by serving, by walking alongside of us. Amen.